I leave if you didn't want me to say a couple words. You could sit. Because like when I say this, I'm saying like a couple words for a minute. Like it's like dog ears. You have to translate.
I'm trusting you. So.
Yeah. So
that was a mistake.
So I just wanted to take the opportunity just to say a warm thank you, personal thank you, to Rabbi Leibowitz, first of all, for last week, for giving shiur, for everything that he did over the summer for those who were in Keli, which is so significant. I hear about it all the time from every direction. So I can only hope that whatever I try to do in chinuch behind my back, people say a fraction of what they describe from Rabbi Leibowitz. And in addition, if I could also thank him for being so generous with his time to speak here as well, and perhaps even as the summer goes on. And it's always a pleasure.
Okay. Okay.
I was about to keep going, Bill.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Birshus of Nussbacher. Okay, always good to learn together a little bit. So a couple of days ago, I started looking into a sugya that I thought really wasn't a sugya. And this is the way it works sometimes when you research a topic in Torah. You think like, I'll start looking into something. Maybe I'll come up with a paragraph to write about the topic. And then you just start uncovering layers and layers. And so I wanted to look into the sugya of what a person should be learning on Shabbos. If it's inappropriate to learn Iyun on Shabbos. Because I remember coming across such a maramah once, that there's something wrong with learning bi'iyun on Shabbos. So I thought that would be a fun topic, you know, for maybe like a 5-minute halacha or something like that. Next thing I knew, I had like, 8 pages written up on learning on Shabbos and sleeping on Shabbos and onek Shabbos in general, and I was really excited. I'm like, wow, job well done. You know, that was pretty good. And then I was in this farm store tonight. I was in Z. Berman's, and I saw, I kid you not, there is a sefer called La'aneges HaShabbos B'Talmud Torah. 350 pages on La'aneges HaShabbos B'Talmud Torah. So I still have some more work to do. But I figured we'll talk today a little bit about Oneg Shabbos, and particularly those two areas. We'll see if we get to everything. But those two areas, sleeping on Shabbos, is that encouraged? What are the limits? For who is it encouraged? And learning on Shabbos, and also, is it encouraged? Probably yes. For who is it encouraged? To what extent? So let's start. But in order to understand any of those things, we first need to understand Oneg Shabbos, what the idea of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is. First things first, whenever you discuss any area of halacha, you first have to define what are we talking about, a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah d'rabanan, somewhere in between. What would be in between d'oraisa and d'rabanan? Divrei Kabbalah, right? Or Divrei Sofer, maybe is what Rami. But Divrei Kabbalah, is it a minag, right? And then even within Doraisa, what kind of Doraisa? Is it a Doraisa that's based on a pasuk that's mefurish in the Torah? Is it a Doraisa based on Yirgun Lidushat Torah and Drashas Ben? Is it a Doraisa that's only Alech L'Moshe Misinai? Right? Different levels of Doraisa. Within Derabanan, what kind of Derabanan? Is it a Gezerah? Is it a Takana? Is it a Mitzvah? Right? What are the different categories? And then, once we figure out what it is, we could start talking about its character, its nature. Once we talk about the level of the chiyuv, we could start dissecting the mitzvah itself, and what it requires, and what the details of the mitzvah are. So, for example, if I were to ask you, is there dafka an inyan to sleep on Shabbos? Is there dafka an inyan to learn on Shabbos? Or is it, do what you enjoy? And if you happen to enjoy sleep, great. If you happen to not enjoy sleep, then don't do it. If it's not something that, if you think your time would be better spent hanging out with friends, you know, playing ping pong all Shabbos afternoon, that was the minute when I was growing up, and that's, you know, if that's how you enjoy that more than taking a nap, so good, that's your Oneg Shabbos. Or are there like clear criteria, clear definitions of what Oneg actually means? So let's start at the beginning. Where does the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos start? So it's a pasuk. Where's the pasuk? Good. Pasuk Yishayahu in Perek Nuches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'karasa l'Shabbos, Oneg, and the Gemara Mesech HaShabbos, Tav Kuf Yud Chesam and Beis. It's a whole long sugi over there about Oneg Shabbos. It's almost like an Agadita Gemara, but it is telling us the basics of the halacha. The Gemara tells us, Amar Avidam Rav, Kol HaMa'aneges HaShabbos, Nosen Lo Mishalos Libo. Wow. If you perform Onik Shabbos properly, then you get your wishes. Your three wishes. You could even wish for more wishes, whatever. Call Mishalos Libo, whatever it is that you're interested in, you're going to get. Shenemar. How do I know that? Because Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'Sanigel Hashem V'Yitin L'Chom Mishalos Libecha, that if you're Misanigel Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you your Mishalos Halev, whatever it is that your heart desires. So it says, yeah, but that just says Misanigel Hashem. It doesn't say what kind of oneg. It doesn't say oneg Shabbos. It just says oneg al Hashem. So says Gemara, oneg ze in yodeh mahu. Kishu amr v'kras al Shabbos oneg. Once I have the puzzle of Shayo that tells me that oneg is something that's associated with Shabbos, have you ever said oneg Shabbos? So now I know that what earns a person mishalos libo is specifically oneg Shabbos. Great. So now, how do you do the mitzvah? Says the Gemara. B'mema ango. Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas b'Shmei deRav Amar b'Tavshil shel Tradin v'Dagim Gedolim v'Rashei Shumin. Wow, what a menu! You go and you'll have large fish. You have garlic heads. You know, these are no mention, by the way. What would you expect to be on the list? Meat, right? No mention of meat. Just these other types of vegetables and fish. That's how you, that are, were apparently delicacies. Reb Chiya Barashi Amarav, afilu davar mu'at ulkavet Shabbos asoh ereiz ha'onag. So it says Gemara, or it could be that even if you can't afford all these fancy things, or you're not interested in all these fancy things, but you do something a little extra. You know, you buy the black and white cookies for dessert. You know, something that you don't have normally during the week. A davar muat, that's also a kiyum of oneg Shabbos. The Gemara says, what is a davar muat? Kasa taharsna. Fine, so there is this. And then the Gemara goes on to wax poetic about, you know, if you do oneg Shabbos, you're going to be zocha to everything. You'll have a nachal abili mitzarim. You'll be saved from shivan malchios. You'll be zocha la ashirus. All of these wonderful things for a mitzvah that is based on not even a pasuk in the Torah. It's based on different Nevi'im. And yet you're zocha to all of these incredible things as a result of Oneg Shabbos. So just based on the simple reading of the Gemara, how do you define Oneg? Meaning, what's the greatest ta'anug a person can have in this world? What would you think? What's like, you know, they tell the famous story, I think, with the Gvir that came over to fill in name of Rosh Yeshiva. The way I heard it first was with Rav Aaron Cutler, the wealthy man that came to Rav Aaron Cutler, a big supporter of Lakewood, and he said, I feel bad for you, Rabbi, because, you know, I get all of the same schar that you get because I'm supporting all of your Torah, but I also get to enjoy Olam Hazeh. Like, I live in this beautiful house, and I drive a beautiful car, and I get to enjoy Olam Hazeh. And you only get to enjoy Olam Haba, but I'm going to get that same Olam Haba. So Rav Aaron Cutler, this conversation obviously never happened, by the way. People say some crazy things to Gedolei Olam sometimes, so I guess it wouldn't be so shocking. So Rav Aaron Cutler apparently says back to the fellow, what are you talking about? You experience Olam Hazeh? Were you ever Miyashiv Shver Rambam? You don't know what Olam Hazeh is until you've experienced that enjoyment, that pleasure. So why didn't the Gemara say that? The Gemara says, "Bamema ango, how are you going to be Ma'anik Shabbos? What do you do for Onik Shabbos?" I would have said, sit and learn up a sugya really well. You know, I remember the first Shabbos I was in Kaylee this summer. It was the first time in a long time that I was able to just go to the Beis Medrash for 3 hours straight and, you know, not worry about the next shiur I was giving and, you know, whatever, just learning. And it's like, that's an Onik Shabbos. That's really special. Gemara doesn't say that. What impression do you get from the Gemara? How do you define Oneg? No? What? Gashmias. Oneg is Gashmias, right? It seems pretty clear that Oneg is Oneg Haguf. It's a davar. It's supposed to be a davar Gashmi. In fact, I saw that Rav Nevinsal said that he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman in Hilchas Brachas Shaila. Now, let's say you have two peiros in front of you, and you're not sure which, and you want to recite. You don't care which one. Well, let's put it this way: you have two peiros in front of you. Which one should you eat first? Which one should you recite the bracha on to eat first? So whichever is chaviv, right? So says Asher of Nevin Salt of Shlomo Zalman. Let's say one of the foods you have in front of you, they're both the same bracha. One of them is you enjoy more, the taste is better for you, you enjoy more. The other one is healthier, and you're eating it because it's healthier. So which one should you recite a bracha on? So Shlomo Zalman said, the healthier one. He said, because that's the whole point of eating. meaning the whole point of eating is to keep a healthy body for Avodas Hashem. You're not eating for enjoyment. So if that's the whole point of eating, of course the healthier one. So Rav Nevensal writes that he didn't ask Rosh Shlomo Zalman this, but he thinks that if it were Shabbos, the answer would be the opposite. That if it were Shabbos, there's dafka a mitzvah to have physical enjoyment. That's the nature of the mitzvah of Onek Shabbos, is to have physical enjoyment from the food. And that therefore maybe that counts as the chaviv. So just to put it out there, we'll come back to it as Hashem. The chakira is, I think I mentioned before, is the mitzvah of Onek Shabbos defined by particular actions? Or is it, like we say, Besimchas Yantif, Anashim Baroi Lahem, Vinashim Baroi Lahem, you give him a Chalik Kleos Vegos and Latinokos, yeah, everyone with whatever, Tamid Chachamim Baroi Lahem, Amei Aretz Baroi Lahem, everyone according to what they enjoy. So that's going to be the Chakira that we're going to have to figure out. But before we get to that, The very first statement of the Gemara, that if you're Ma'anig as a Shabbos, get Kol Mishalos Libo. What's the Midah Keneged Midah? That Kol Mishalos Libo, why dafka that bracha for that mitzvah? That whatever your heart desires, you're going to get. So there are two basic approaches I found. Beis Yosef writes in Or Chaim Sim Reish Mem Beis that if you are Ma'anig as a Shabbos, it means that you're seeking out special enjoyments and pleasures for Shabbos. So in order to be able to do that properly, you need to be able to have access to those special enjoyments and pleasures. So, kol mishalos libo, meaning you will be unlimited in terms of what you're going to need in order to do the mitzvah. B'derek shadim rotzeh leilech, malich nosakar, you want to do this mitzvah and this way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the wherewithal to do the mitzvah. And in this case, the wherewithal to do the mitzvah is some really wonderful gashmias. The Marsha on that Gemara in the Chidush HaGadol says it a little bit differently. He says, it's interesting because you want to be Ma'anig the Shabbos with all sorts of wonderful things. The only thing is, there's another halacha on Shabbos is that you're not allowed to be Mevakish Tzrachov on Shabbos. You're not allowed to ask for particular things on Shabbos. In Shmoneh Esrei, we don't ask for anything. We just talk about Kedushas HaShabbos. So since you're not allowed to ask for anything, we have this Haftacha, don't worry, you're going to get it anyway. That even without asking for it, you're going to get it anyway, and that, therefore you'll be able to ma'aneg. You'll be able to ma'aneg the Shabbos. Now, is this mitzvah d'oraisa, or is it a mitzvah d'rabanan? So, what would you say, d'oraisa or d'rabanan? What do we have? We have a pasuk, but the pasuk is not in the Torah; it's in Yeshayo. So, what would you say? What does that make it, d'oraisa or d'rabanan? What? Meaning. It could be daraisa, and it's a gila. What do you mean gila milsa? Like an asmachta.
That our gila milsa is daraisa.
What do you mean gila milsa?
It shows us that the Torah, that there's this halakha.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to see. Shows us what? Where in the Torah does it say anything? Right? The Torah says that you have to zachar is yom haShabbos kadosh. The Torah says shmir Shabbos, shamar is yom haShabbos. Zachar is kiddush, according to the Rambam Havdalah. According to many Rishonim, all the mitzvahs say of Shabbos, right? The Seudos Shabbos and Lechem Mishnah and things like that. Shmira Shabbos is 39 melachos. What does that have to do with Onek Shabbos? So we'll have to see. Maybe they are connected. Pashut Pshat, when you have something from Pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's Midivrei Kabbalah. It's somewhere in between. It's this category called Midivrei Kabbalah, which is short of a Doraisa. It's not quite a Doraisa. The Rambam in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Arba'a Dvarim Namru B'Shabbos, Shnayim Min HaTorah, Shnayim Midivrei Sofrim. There are four mitzvahs of Shabbos, two of them are Min HaTorah, and two of them are Midivrei Sofrim. But then he adds, V'hein Mifurashin Al Yidei HaNeviim. And there, what's Mifurashin? Explained, explicated, al yedei hanaviim, shebetora zachar v'shamur, v'shenesparsh al yedei hanaviim, kavod va'oneg, shem v'rakos al shabbos onig, kavod v'shem v'chubad. That in the Navi we have kavod and oneg, in the Torah it's just zachar v'shamur. That's the Rambam. Pashtus of the Rambam is it's a takanas neviim. That it's therefore not a real dinta oraisa, whatever you want to call it, whether you're going to call it derabanan or you call it divrei kabbalah, but it's not a daraisa. And that's how the Bir Alacha understands the Rambam in Simin Reish Nun. That's how the Sefer Achinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Tzadi Zayin. That's how the Beis Yosef understands the Rambam in Simin Tav Pei Zayin. Good. Comes along the Chassam Sofer and many others, And the Chassam Sofer says that the Rambam holds it's the Oraisa Mamish. The Oraisa Mamish. Not anything in between. When you say something's the Oraisa, what do you need to show me? Where's the Pasuk, right? Comes the Chassam Sofer, says Halachal Moshe Misinai. And the Pasuk's an Asmachta. The Pasuk in Navi is an Asmachta, but it's Halachal Moshe Misinai. That was always part of the Torah. It was always Halachal Moshe Misinai. Halachal Moshe Misinai is a Din D'Oraisa. And he brings many rayas that this is Shitas HaRambam. For example, the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Shvuos writes that if a person takes a Shvua to fast on Shabbos, it's a Shvua Shav, as opposed to on Chanukah and Purim. Why? Because Inoy and Shabbos is Nisa D'Oraisa. Chanukah and Purim, it's only Midivrei Sofer. So he's working with the assumption that failure to enjoy Shabbos is an Issa D'Oraisa. The Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Vav Halachates, person takes a neder too fast on Shabbos. He has to be Mekayim Nidro, as opposed to Chanukah and Purim, where he doesn't. Why? Because Chanukah and Purim are only Drabanan, they require Chizik. Divrei Torah don't require Chizik. That which is D'Oraisa doesn't require Chizik. Another raya, the Aruch Lener brings a raya from a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Gimel. The Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Sefer Devarim, the Man Tilma the Yiras Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayamim, says the Gemara, we see from there that you should be Ma'aser Me'erev Shabbos even on a Davar Shelo B'Liolam, take Maestros even on something Shelo B'Liolam for the sake of Onek Shabbos. And where are we deriving that from? A pasuk in the Torah. For the sake of Onek Shabbos, we drive a pasuk in the Torah. So it must be that there's a din da'oraisa over here. So many rayas. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on the pasuk v'shamru b'nei Yisrael Shabbos la'asos es Shabbos. What does it mean la'asos es Shabbos? Says Targum Yonasan ben Uziel v'inatum b'nei Yisrael yas Shabbata lemeved tafnuke Shabbata. What's tafnuke Shabbata? The enjoyments. Onek Shabbos. That's how he teaches the pasuk. So it sounds that even within Shitas HaRambam, it might be Da'oraisa. But what did the Rambam say? The Rambam didn't say Da'oraisa. What did the Rambam say? That there are two mitzvos midivrei Torah, and he contrasted that with two mitzvos that are, what do you call it? Midivrei Sofrim. So, no, anyone ever learned Ksubas Kiddushin? No, where does he use that? Where do we find that terminology? Midivrei Sofrim doesn't always necessarily mean
by Kesef Kiddushin,
right? Midivrei Sofrim is not always telling, but over here it seems a little more telling, because he's contrasting it with Divrei Torah, right? Zachar and Shamar are Midivrei Torah. The other two, Kavod Va'Oneg, are only Midivrei Sofrim. So it seems like a little bit more compelling that we're dealing with something that's not Midivrei Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that if you look very carefully, Rav Soloveitchik in the Yard Site here, it's printed in Shir Mlezecher Rabbi Mari Chelik Aleph on page Nun in the most recent printings, I think, of the Shir Mlezecher Rabbi Mari. Rav Soloveitchik explained, if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, it's very different in Hilchos Shabbos than it is, for example, when he describes the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Right, by Kriyas HaMegillah, he says Kriyas HaMegillah is a Takanas Nevi'im. Takanas Nevi'im. What does he say over here? By Kavod Va'Onek Shabbos, he says, what's the Lashon again? Shein Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNeviim. That's a little different. Not that it's the Takana, it's Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNeviim. And says Rav Soloveitchik, it's not that the Neviim came and were Koveya a Takana, a new din, a new mitzvah. Rather, there are mitzvos in the Torah, and there are certain guidelines to those mitzvos in the Torah, but those mitzvos in the Torah can be better fulfilled when performing what the Navi says. What's the mitzvah in the Torah? Shvisa mimalacha, right? Shomer's Yom HaShabbos. Shomer's Yom HaShabbos means Shmir Shabbos, means not doing 39 malachas of Shabbos. You know, it could be that a person will not do 39 malachas of Shabbos, because I'll tell you the truth, on a typical day, even on a weekday, today, I did no plowing, I did a minimum amount of winnowing, right? I tried to keep it. And if I was lazy enough, I was off today, right? Okay, I had a meeting with YU, I had a Gayrus meeting. Okay, let's say yesterday. Yesterday, Mamish had nothing, right? Just about. So yesterday, if I really wanted to, I could have just stayed in bed all day. So what's to distinguish yesterday from Shabbos? How do I know when I'm not doing anything that I'm not just being lazy? How do I know that it's Shabbos? So Soloveitchik points out, if you look at the Lashon HaRambam in the 24th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam has a magical phrase when he describes muktzah. The Rambam describes why it is that Chazal thought it necessary to create this entire category in Shabbos called muktzah. Contrary to popular belief, muktzah does not mean everything that's asar on Shabbos. Right? Remember, one of my friends sent his kid to preschool for the first time. The kid was 3-4 years old, and the teacher said, "Why don't we write on Shabbos?" And they said, "Ah, it's muktzah." And the kid said, "Isn't it Kaysev Daraisa?" You know? So, yeah, it is Kaysev Daraisa. Maybe moving the pen is muktzah. But where did they come up with this idea of muktzah from? So the Rambam has a number of possibilities, and the Rambam writes, first of all, you know, if shloye hiluchach b'shabbos kiluchach b'chol, lo sichas ha-shabbos kesichas ha-chol, you're not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk on a weekday, no running on Shabbos. You're not supposed to talk on Shabbos the way you talk on a weekday, no talking business on Shabbos. So kal v'chomer, says the Rambam, shloye tiltul b'shabbos kitiltul b'chol, that the things you handle shouldn't be the same things on Shabbos as you do on the weekday. That's one. Then the Rambam says, furthermore, especially when you're in the category of klisha mlachta le'iser, well, if you're going to be holding a pen and moving it around, or you're going to be moving your cell phone, there's a very good chance that you're going to start using it. So it's going to come to malacha. So that's another reason. And then the Rambam says a third reason. Va'od. This is again the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chav Dalid Halacha Yud Gimel. Mipnei shemiktzas ha'am einam balei umnius. There are some people that never do anything. Yeah, when you make a siyum, you thank Hashem that you're not one of those guys. That you're not one of the Yoshve Kranos. And there are people like this. Right? Professional Instagrammers or whatever. And what do they do all day? And if you were allowed to speak and walk and move things the way you do every other day, nimtza shalosh shavas, here's the key, shvisa hanikeres. Shvisa, yes, but it's not a shvisa hanikeres. What does shvisa hanikeres mean? It's not recognizable. It's not obvious why you're being shavas. So you need to do other things to make it clear why it is that you're not doing malacha. Shvisa hanikeres. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what's going on with Kavanah Onik Shabbos. Kavanah Onik Shabbos is a kiyum da'oraisa of Shmiras Shabbos. Because when you have a lavish meal, when you're able to take an afternoon nap, all of a sudden, you never normally do, when you do certain things that are just, when you have that extra food at the table that you don't normally have, when you wear the nicer clothing, whatever, it's clear that the reason you're not doing all that malacha is because today's a special day. And it sort of highlights the Shmira Shabbos. It becomes a Shvisa Hanikeres. That's how our salvation explains the nature of Kavod Va'onik Shabbos. So essentially what we have is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether Onik Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, let's say. Pashtus of the Rambam is that it's a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, and as we said, that's the way the Bir Halacha and the Beis Yosef understand the Rambam. But you could argue within the Rambam that it's more than that, and there are Rishonim that are explicit that it's Daraisa. The Ramban says that Onik Shabbos is Ikaru Min HaTorah, because Pasuk says, V'yomashri Shabbos Shabbos Mikra Kodesh, and that's part of Mikra Kodesh. Rashi seems to assume that it's Daraisa, because on the pasuk of Zacharis Yom HaShabbos, Rashi writes, "How do you fulfill Zacharis Yom HaShabbos? Shim nizdamin lo chayfetz yafa yemazmina l'Shabbos. If you find something really nice, save it for Shabbos." Why? Why would I save it for Shabbos? Because apparently there's an Indian to have some really nice things on Shabbos, and that's how you fulfill not Shmira Shabbos, Zachira Shabbos. That's Zacharis Yom HaShabbos l'kadosh. So Rashi seems to assume that having nice things, enjoyable things, pleasurable things for Shabbos is a key of Onik Shabbos. So good. So that's just a general background to Onik Shabbos. Now let's get into sleeping. Sleeping or learning? Which one do you want to get into? No preferences? All right, we'll start with sleeping. Okay. Comes along the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed Halacha Yud. Says the Rambam, now, notice what's missing from his, I already gave it away, but notice what's missing from his description of how you spend Shabbos. Here's how Tzadikim HaRishonim would spend Shabbos. Mispal adam Shabbos Shachris, Musaf, Bebeis HaKnesses. You go to Shul, you daven Shachris and Musaf. V'yavol Beis, you come home. V'yiso Tz'uda Shniya, you have your Shabbos lunch. V'yelech Lebeis HaMedrash, then you go back to the Beis HaMedrash. Yikra V'yishma Adam Mincha, you learn until Mincha. Then V'yispalal Mincha, you daven Mincha. V'acharkach Yikva Tz'uda Shlishis Ala Yayin. Then you have shalashudas with wine. V'yochal v'yishta ad motzai Shabbos. And even drink until motzai Shabbos comes. What's missing from the Rambam's Shabbos schedule? Other than ping pong, right? He forgot the afternoon nap. What happened to the afternoon nap? So you're going to tell me, come on, the afternoon nap, that's like an American thing. That didn't die. There's no such thing as an afternoon nap. Not true. The Torah in Siman Reish Sadi, and this is quoted by the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, says the Torah, V'im ragel b'sheinus ha-tzarayim, Al yevatla ki oneg hula. If you enjoy, or I shouldn't say enjoy, if you're used to a good afternoon nap, make sure you have that nap on Shabbos. Because that's your oneg, and that's what you need to do. So you're supposed to have an afternoon nap on Shabbos, says the Torah. Wow. The Raman, Siman Reish Sadi, Sifal, quotes this exact line. So let's talk a little bit about sleeping on Shabbos. Three things about sleeping on Shabbos. First thing we should discuss is it really a requirement? Meaning, is it something that you must do? And if you don't do, you know, there's a story that I found online. Rav Vadia Yosef visited the United States many times. One of the times he visited the United States, he was staying by a rabbi, I think in Brooklyn, Rav David Ozari, it says his name was, and he was, and the rabbi set up a room for him and the rabbi. It must have been many, many years ago, because Rav Vadia's wife was still alive, and he set up a beautiful bedroom for him, and he told him, look, if you need light, the closet light is open, so just, you know, it's a walk-in closet, just open the closet door, and you'll have light. They didn't yet have the Shabbos lamps, and maybe they did, and Rav Vadia held like Rabbi Sadlovsky, that you're not supposed to use them, but they didn't have the kosher innovations didn't exist yet. So I said you could open the closet door. So the next morning, the host asked the Rebbetzin, how were the accommodations? So she said they were perfect. They were really perfect because we rarely have a place where we could stay that the light is on. That's a separate room. So my husband was able to take a chair, go into the closet, and that's where he was all night with the sefer in the closet all night. He was because he doesn't sleep. He's not going to sleep on Shabbos. He stayed up all night learning. I've had Shabbos guests where I've noticed that I went to sleep and they were sitting at the dining room table learning. I woke up and they're sitting at the dining room table learning. Their beds were made. You know, I've had Shabbos guests that don't sleep. Are they doing something wrong? Right? Should we take this out of the Rav Vadia Yosef biography because it's a Lashon Hara that he's violating an issue? Are they doing something wrong by doing this? Is there a requirement to sleep on Shabbos? Second thing, you know, the Torah had, and the way the Rama had imragil. If a person is used, is it only for a person who's used to an afternoon nap? Let's say I don't have that luxury. You know, I don't have this middle of the afternoon, ability to take a nap. The partners in my law firm do not allow the associates to do that. Not allowed to, but I'd love to. It is still a title for me. So is it different depending on who the person is? And also, once we're talking about sleeping on Shabbos, what if you have a big night planned for Motzei Shabbos? Are you allowed to sleep on Shabbos for the sake, you know, this past two years, first night of Shavuos was Motzei Shabbos. So everyone was taking naps on Shabbos with a very clear kavana to stay up the whole night. So are you allowed to do that, right? Are you allowed to say it? So let's start one at a time. Is it a mitzvah mamish to sleep? There is a sefer called Zeh HaShulchan. And the sefer is Zeh HaShulchan. Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Sadi, he says, Nira da'asul yos er kolel Shabbos Kodesh afilu lasot petorah. So Rav Vadia Yosef did something terrible that Shabbos. It's asur to stay up all night, even to learn Torah. He says, you don't believe me? I have three rayas. Why? V'umi kolishkein, v'imad dekos of kanda ha'ragel b'shinus tarayim al yivat lenu v'kolishkein shen levad l'shinus ha'layla. Because the Rama says that if you're used to sleeping in the afternoon, then you better do that on Shabbos too, because that's an oneg. Everybody's used to sleeping at night, right? There's no one that can, you can't go 3 days. The Gemara says you can't go 3 days without sleep, right? So everyone sleeps at night. So if anyone who's used to sleeping in the afternoon must do that on Shabbos, the right number one is the Rama, the Torah of the Rama. then certainly someone who's used to sleeping at night must do that on Shabbos. Good raya, bad raya? Indifference? Yeah?
Maybe if staying up at night, I'll be sleeping in the afternoon. So maybe it's better to stay up at night.
Meaning it's dafka in Indian in the afternoon? No, I think, meaning he's talking about people who will not sleep. There are people like this that will not sleep on Shabbos. They don't want to be ma'abed, a second of Kedushas HaShabbos, on something as silly as sleep. Is that usher? You know, Rav Asher Weiss, I've been with him over Shabbosos in the past, you know, and he's busy when he's in like a community in America. He's speaking 8,000 times, and he's running around, people are coming to talk to him all the time. And somehow, like, we leave him at night, you know, and you come back the next day, and you see, like, the place mark in his Gemara moved, like, 50 pages. What happened? Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg told me that Rav Asher Weiss told him that he alternates years finishing Bavli and Yerushalmi. Now, 1 year he'll finish Bavli, next year Yerushalmi, next year Bavli, next year Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Goldberg said to him, how do you have time for that? Seven blot a day? Like, how do you have time for seven blot a day? He goes, seven blot a day? He said, I'm writing all week. I can't learn during the week. It's all Shabbos. I mean, it's 50 blood on Shabbos. It's not seven blood a day. There's no seven blood a day. So, but you can't do that if you're sleeping all Shabbos, right? So, says the Zeh Shulchan, Raya number one, the Ramah. Raya number two, he says, Matzasi b'kafa chayim, simen resh pei, sivkot nhei, shakach chasal b'shem Pesach HaDvir. Says there's a sefer out there called Pesach HaDvir. Kafa Chaim writes exactly what I'm saying in the name of the Pesach HaDvir. Okay, so we're going to have to investigate. What's that raya? Apparently there's something that is said by the Pesach HaDvir that's very compelling. Third, he says, Ayin Rashi k'suba samuch bezam bez, shekasu shu lel tanuk u'shvisa v'hanoz haguf, that you need tanuk haguf on Lel Shabbos. Lel Shabbos is supposed to be a time that you enjoy, that you're physically enjoying Shabbos. Meaning, what's the taina? The taina for someone who wants to stay up all night is they're going to say, Rav Avadya Yosef will say, I enjoy learning more than anything else. Yeah, but we define Onek Shabbos as not spiritual Onek. Onek Shabbos is physical Onek. So it's nice that you enjoy learning, but that's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to have physical pleasure. So comes the Tzitz Eliezer, and Chelek Zayin Simul Chav Gimel, Tzitz Eliezer says, all of these rayas can be easily rejected. The first raya from the Ramah, yeah, the Torah of the Ramah. The Torah of the Ramah said that if you're used to taking an afternoon nap, then you have to do that on Shabbos as well. That's when the alternative is nothing. The alternative is nothing particularly enjoyable. It's no major tzorech. It's not. But if the alternative is Talmud Torah, then of course you're allowed to skip your afternoon nap. It was saying someone who is used to taking his afternoon nap shouldn't just have his lunch extend till mincha time, as sometimes happens. Right, you should make sure that he takes his afternoon nap. The raya from the Pesach HaDvir, so this is something that Tzitz Eliezer, if you know anything about his style in Tshuvas, he tracks down every single Sefer. Like, he'll quote entire paragraphs from Sfarim that nobody has, before Hebrew books. I don't know, he must have had access to a lot of Sfarim, some major library. He tracks down every Sefer. So he says, if you look in the Pesach HaDvir, you'll see that he's talking about a person, when he says that you have to sleep on Friday night, he's saying you have to sleep on Friday night because if you refrain from sleep and get sick and you're not able to eat two meals the next day, you're not going to fulfill your mitzvah of Shalosh Su'udos, and that's going to be a problem. I mean, he's specifically referring to someone who's going to otherwise become ill from not sleeping. But if you're a person that this is your habit and this is what you do and it's not going to prevent you from doing a mitzvah, it wouldn't be a problem at all. What about Rashi? Rashi talks about Oneg Shabbos, so you have to enjoy Lel Shabbos. He says, you know, the Ran quotes that same exact Lashon, says Tzitz Eliezer, same Lashon that Rashi quotes. And the Ran writes, the same author, the Ran says, you know, there is a mitzvah called Mitzvahs Ona. Mitzvahs Ona is that a husband is supposed to be with his wife with some level of regularity, depending on his profession. So the Gemara says, Onas Talmud Chacham is Milal Shemer of Shabbos, Ler of Shabbos. So Lel Shabbos is the Onas Talmud Chacham. Says the Ran, Lav Dafka Lel Shabbos. Because most Talmud Chacham are too busy in their learning on Lel Shabbos. So Lav Dafka Lel Shabbos. They're not even going up to the bedroom on Lel Shabbos. They're too busy learning Lel Shabbos. So the same Ran who said that you have to have this oneg on Friday night, the same exact lashon as Rashi, also says that you have, that Talmidei Chachamim are nadushinim einayim, that they in order to be lomed and litzroach b'limuda. So clearly, they don't mean that you must sleep on Shabbos if you enjoy learning more. So good. So then learn on Shabbos. And then says it's Elias, and I have a raya. She'ena lov tshuva. I have the greatest raya in the world that you don't have to sleep on Shabbos. Because there's a very famous story of a bunch of rabbis that were sitting around talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim once. And you know what they didn't do that night? Sleep. Talmidim came and said, oh, Yezman Kriya Shema. They didn't sleep the whole night. So you see clearly that you don't have to sleep. Come on, that raya is terrible. Why is that raya terrible? First of all, it's Pesach. Second of all, meaning it's Pesach in the sense that, what do you mean by saying it's, what? Seder, which means you have a kalamar b'lasaber is a meshubach, right? And second of all, it's not Shabbos, it's Yantiv. Even if it wasn't Pesach. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yantiv? The mitzvah on Yantiv is a mitzvah of Simcha. Ein Simcha k'simcha satara. Great. Simcha might mean this internal feeling of connectedness. Oneg means something different. You know, there's a sefer, a very famous sefer called the Oneg Yomtov. The first chiddush of the sefer is the title. That there's such a thing as Oneg Yomtov. Is there such a thing as Simcha? There's a lot of discussion in Achronim about this. Is there such a thing as Simcha Shabbos? Is there such a thing as Oneg Yomtov? Well, one thing we know for sure, there's Oneg Shabbos and there's Simcha Yomtov. So it might be a totally different gather of what's expected of a person, of what a person is supposed to do. So that's not necessarily the greatest raya. Rav Menashe Klein has a funny tshuva. He has a lot of, but in Chelek Yiral of Simin Yitzes, Rav Menashe Klein, Tshuva's Mishnah Halachas, has someone asked him if you can borrow your friend's pillow without permission to take your Shabbos nap, because there's a Chazal have an expression in Psachim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that Nichalei Linish Lav Mitzvah B'Mamone, that people always want mitzvahs to be done with their possessions, with their money. So can you borrow your friend's pillow to take a Shabbos nap? A mitzvah, right? Your roommate is—he's crazy. He's learning in the Beis Medrash all day Shabbos afternoon. So grab his pillow. You don't have your second pillow. You like to have two pillows. So are you allowed to do it? So what would you tie, no? Is that nichle elin shlav mitzvah b'monei? So maybe it would depend on our chakira, right? If onik Shabbos demands specific actions, and one of those specific actions is, or inaction, is sleeping, so yeah, then this is a legitimate mitzvah. But if Onik Shabbos is just to enjoy yourself, and you just happen to be a person who enjoys sleeping, it could be that doesn't fit into the category. The Nichle Elin Shalav Mitzvah Mone is when that Maisa is objectively a Maisa mitzvah. Not when it's just something that's a mitzvah for you because you happen to enjoy it. It happens to be Menashe Klein has a totally different approach. Menashe Klein over there says, he says to the Shaul, you're totally misunderstanding the principle of Nichle Elin Shalav Mitzvah Mone. He says, Nichle Elin Shalav Mitzvah Mone means to borrow someone else's Cheftza Shal Mitzvah. Where does it come up in Shulchan Aruch? Huh? Tefillin. Right? You want to borrow someone else's Tefillin. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to borrow someone else's Svarim without permission because people are very makpid. They're afraid you're going to rip it, you're going to ruin it. They're very makpid about their Svarim. But Tefillin, no one really cares. If you borrow the Tefillin, as long as you put it back, it's no problem. It's a question whether that chazaka is now reversed nowadays. More people are makbid about their tefillin than they are about their svarim. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. You're allowed to borrow tefillin without permission. So says Rabbi Nachman, yeah, because it's a cheftza shel mitzvah. You're allowed to borrow a talus without permission because it's a cheftza shel mitzvah. You're allowed to borrow a lulav without permission because it's a cheftza shel mitzvah. A pillow is not a cheftza shel mitzvah. Even if you're doing mitzvahs of ma'asim tovim with it, it's not a cheftza shel mitzvah. So I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, it sounds like a good chiluk, but he says, what, to take money from someone else? To do a mitzvah with that person's money? You know what we call that? That's geneva, right? That's not nichle elin shlav mitzvah b'monei. I'm going to take your money and I'm going to give tzedakah. Nichle elin shlav mitzvah b'monei. So Rabbi Ashkenazi says, that's ridiculous. We never take someone else's property and use it because I want to do a mitzvah with it. What we do is we take a cheftza shel mitzvah and use it. There's only one problem. What's the primary sugya of nichle elin shlav mitzvah money in Shas? Where does it come up in Shas? Anyone ever learned the first parak of Pesachim? I guess not. In the first parak of Pesachim, the Gemara talks about Bdikas Chametz. You rent a house, and it's supposed to be baduk, right? Part of the agreement, you're going to Orlando for Pesach, and you rent one of those houses. So there are a number of things that are supposed to be taken care of in advance. One of them is the house is supposed to be baduk from chametz, right? It's supposed to be, it's supposed to have Pesach food or whatever other promises that don't end up. The Gemara says, is it a mekach tos or not? Is it a mekach tos or not? So says the Gemara, lomi bayi ba'asa doya v'yagru badku denich le'linish l'kirmi mitzvah begufei. Certainly, if the practice in that community is that people do b'dikas chametz themselves, well, then you're very, very happy to do the mitzvah yourself. Adrab, the guy just gave you a great opportunity. He was supposed to do the mitzvah for you. Now you get to do the mitzvah. Even if the minig in that place is no one does b'dikah themselves, they hire a cleaning service. He still, a person is always happy to have his money spent on doing a mitzvah. That's the source. Where's the chefetz shel mitzvah over there? What does it mean? Bimamone. It doesn't mean with his lulav, his talis, his tefillin. What does bimamone mean over there? His money. His money. It doesn't sound like you need to have a chefetz shel mitzvah in order to apply this principle of nichlel and shlev mitzvah mone. So I'd much prefer to say that it really depends on our chakira, whether the act of sleeping is considered, or the, again, inaction of sleeping is considered a mitzvah. Just to close, because we're up against Marav over here, whether you're allowed to sleep with plans of preparing for the next day, Mishnah Berurah says, quoting from a Sefer Chassidim, that you're not allowed to say it beferish. The question is, why not? And there are three possibilities. It could be hachana, daber davar, or it could be just a lack of oneg, meaning it's a lack of shvisa nikeres. It's the opposite of shvisa nikeres, that you're showing that you're being shoves for something else. And there may be nafkaminas between them, but now is not the time. Okay, have a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbos. I wish to make sure they have a great Onik Shabbos this week. With Talmud Torah also, we didn't get to that part. Okay.